This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. The Senate Judiciary Committee opens hearings today on the nomination of Alberto Gonzalez to be Attorney General. As White House counsel for President Bush, Gonzalez has been the central figure in developing some of the administration's most controversial anti-terrorism policies. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
President Bush said he picked Gonzalez to be the nation's top law enforcement officer precisely because of his leadership role in formulating anti-terror policies after September 11th.
His sharp intellect and sound judgment have helped shape our policies in the war on terror.
But key elements of those policies were overwhelmingly rejected by the Supreme Court last June, including the policy that allowed the indefinite imprisonment of American citizens deemed enemy combatants without charge or access to counsel. Rejected, too, was the policy that allowed for the indefinite detention of Al-Qaeda and Taliban prisoners. It wasn't only the courts that fought Gonzalez. When he urged the abandonment of a half-century-old policy of according all enemy prisoners protection under the Geneva Conventions, it was the military itself, including the then-chairman of the Joint Chiefs, that objected, fearing that if the Geneva Conventions were cast aside, it was Americans captured abroad who would ultimately suffer. Retired Marine Corps General Joseph Hoar is one of a dozen high-ranking retired military leaders who've written to the Judiciary Committee expressing that view.
It puts all American servicemen and women at risk.
The retired military brass contend in their letter that the decision to depart from the Geneva Conventions went hand in hand with the decision to relax the definition of torture. And today, Gonzalez will undoubtedly face extensive questioning about the so-called torture memo he sought from the Department of Justice in August of 2002. At the time, the CIA was anxious to conduct more aggressive questioning of captured Al-Qaeda suspects, but the agency was fearful of criminal prosecution for breaking U.S. law banning torture. So Gonzalez asked the Justice Department to give him an opinion on the limits of physical and emotional abuse of prisoners. That opinion concluded that inflicting moderate pain was not torture, that in order to be considered torture, a practice must inflict pain equivalent in intensity to organ failure or death. The memo, leaked to the press, caused a furor, and a Defense Department review later concluded that it led in part to abuses at Abu Ghraib and at Guantanamo. In the aftermath of the memo's disclosure, Gonzalez began to distance himself from its contents. But new revelations abounded about abuse at Guantanamo and elsewhere, abuse that FBI agents on the scene objected to and reported on to their bosses in Washington. A week before his confirmation hearings, the Justice Department issued a new memo reversing the policy enunciated in the old memo. Sidestepped, however, is a key assertion made in the old memo that the president has the power to unilaterally declare null and void U.S. laws and treaties when he deems it necessary. That is sure to be a subject that Gonzalez will be pressed on today. If, as expected, he reiterates that neither he nor the president has ever countenanced torture, he will undoubtedly face questions about what he knew and when he knew it. The Washington Post reported yesterday that Gonzalez not only approved the 2002 torture memo and implemented its advice, but that he was briefed repeatedly and in detail about the painful and frightening practices that the CIA would use. The Post reported that Gonzalez never objected to such techniques, even though they went far beyond what is permitted in military interrogation manuals. General James Cullen served before his retirement as chief judge of the U.S. Army Court of Criminal Appeals.
At no time did Mr. Gonzalez apply the brakes as all of this started to unfold. At no time did he say, "We're going too far. There are problems."
At no time, says General Cullen, did Gonzalez seek advice from military lawyers with expertise in this area.
And I think he didn't seek their advice because he knew that they would never sanction a departure from the requirements of the Geneva Convention, nor would they sanction torture or inhuman treatment of detainees.
All of this will be fodder for the Democrats today. Then, too, there will be much Democratic angst about the administration's refusal to grant access to other Gonzalez memoranda not leaked to the press. All of this is in part to set the table for the day when and if Gonzalez is appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court. For as former Bush White House Associate Counsel Brad Berenson observes,
anytime you have a Senate confirmation under your belt, it marginally makes the next Senate confirmation easier.
In the last analysis, though, confirming a cabinet appointee is different from confirming a judicial appointee. A president is generally given great leeway in choosing the individuals who will serve in his cabinet. After all, the job is only temporary. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.